Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn how eating garlic and onions can prevent hypertension and diabetes. WHO says, the Federal University of Technology in Nigeria, published in the Journal of Dietary Supplements. We have about 9 other important studies that can allow us to live a longer and healthier life. Then today, I'm going to also share some of the latest on environmental issues from around the world, the problems and the solutions. Also, there was something in the New York Times that concerned me, and it should concern you. They're talking about what to do in a nation that is not complying with vaccines. So here's what they say, quote, "Nation faces hand-to-hand combat to get reluctant Americans vaccinated." Let me repeat that. Nation faces hand-to-hand combat to get reluctant Americans vaccinated. What are your thoughts on that? Because now the establishment, meaning the deep state, that is never criticized, no one is ever held accountable for any crimes against humanity, along with the different federal agencies, the technocrats running them, the media complicit in portraying those who challenge vaccines for any legitimate reason, including medical conditions that would prevent them from being able to, in a safe way, receive any vaccine, let alone COVID, as well as those who have had vaccine injuries to themselves or their loved ones, and who've done the homework, spent the hundreds of thousands of hours researching the scientific literature, showing that the vaccines were never proven by any actual gold standard to be safe and effective. And the fact the Supreme Court, as we had reported, and I have documented, the Supreme Court of the United States said that vaccines are inherently unsafe. I repeat, inherently unsafe. So why is it that the head of the CDC or the FDA or U.S. Public Health Services or the Surgeon General says, yes, vaccines are inherently unsafe. However, we believe that a certain percentage of people will be conferred with an immunity that may protect them. But that's not what they say. Now they're doing an experimental vaccine that has never been used before. And we're seeing hundreds of thousands of adverse reactions, thousands and thousands of deaths, and no criticism, at least not from those in the mainstream promotional establishment. Instead, we see from different universities, including the New England Journal of Medicine, blueprints for how to convince through a propaganda campaign everyone should be vaccinated. But what if you choose for any legitimate reason not to vaccinate? You are now the other. In effect, you're no more than a domestic terrorist. You're a danger, so says the World Health Organization. In fact, if you choose not to vaccinate, you're one of the 10 leading causes of health problems on the planet. Is there any science backing it up? Absolutely not. So now, you should consider this. Remember I said as bad, as devastating as COVID has been, it is nothing compared to what you're about to see. So it begins. Schools are refusing to allow children who have not been fully vaccinated. Schools are allowing kids to be vaccinated without their parents' permission. In fact, they're actually, child services are taking children away from parents who have not worn masks, even though there is no opportunity, statistically speaking, for children to be infected or die from, or at least to die from the COVID virus. They're least susceptible to death. More children die of accidents each year than COVID. But you're going to arrest a child? A mother was in an empty area of a stadium, like a football field, I believe it was a high school, watching her child play. She didn't have a mask on. She was outside. There was no one around her. They came and they tasered her, beat her up, arrested her for not wearing a mask. And yet there is absolutely zero science to support that. So this is what we become. We're Nazi Germany, 1935. Do your homework. Do your history. See what happened in 32, 33, 34, Night of the Long Knives, Night of the Broken Glass. Yesterday, we played a segment from a woman, late 80s, who lived in Vienna, who survived Nazism and wanted to tell us why we should be concerned of what happened then that is happening now. And there is no counterbalancing force. Any doctor, scientist, public health official, Nobel Prize laureate, who challenges any single aspect is being condemned, attacked, and erased. Now's the time to pay attention. That's why we're doing more emphasis on this topic. So remember, call in today and share your thoughts. You can read it for yourself in the New York Times. Quote, nation faces, quote, hand-to-hand combat to get reluctant Americans vaccinated. And so they have the full use of America's police state. And that's what we have. We have a police state. And it's not just about those unfortunate who have been arrested because of their color. Remember the hundreds of thousands a year arrested? Oh, by the way, I had a lecture about this last night, and I asked a simple question. When they were doing stop and frisk, did they stop people coming out of Broadway theaters? How about Lincoln Center? Did they stand outside the opera, the ballet, and as people exited in their gowns, say, hold on a second, open up your purse, open up your pockets, empty your backpack? Did they go down to Wall Street, and every building on Wall Street, did they stop and frisk? Did they go up to Greenwich, Connecticut, to Billionaire's Row, and ask people coming off their property, stop and frisk? No, they didn't. That shows you the targeting of people, the profiling of people based upon race and economic status. This is the country we live in today. It is a serious dilemma. We need progressive thought to change it. I'm interested in your thought. We have a lot of very bright people. Now, a lot of people tried to get in on yesterday's program. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. We do 55 minutes, and then WBAI and a few of our other stations have to break away because they have news on their own local station. You can continue listening. We're going right up at the top of the hour at prn.fm. And go to GaryNall.com. Download the COVID articles. Read them. They can help you. They can save lives. Then go over to the other on vaccines, over almost 60 articles. Read those. Those will tell you the honest, true science, fully documented with full scholarship. No bias, no agenda, no politics. Okay? We begin always by looking at the latest on health and healing. We're going to do that right now. In a recent study, researchers at the Federal University of Technology investigated the benefits of eating garlic, white onions, and purple onions against serious conditions like diabetes and hypertension. They confirmed these by looking at how extracts from the three alums affect the activity of diabetes-related enzymes such as A amylase and A glucidase, and the hypertension-related enzyme angiotensin enzyme, enzyme ACE. This was published in a highly respected journal of dietary supplements. The bottom line, garlic, white onions, purple onions show strong antioxidant, anti-diabetic, and anti-hypertension properties. So use garlic and onions more in your soups, your salads, and your juices. Now, my throat's, I lectured thus far today over 4 hours and 8 hours yesterday, so it's a little stressed. That's why I have a little difference in my voice. But I will gargle with salt water from Himalayan sea salt. I will also use onion garlic and ginger that I will grate and then juice and gargle with it and swallow it down. That'll protect my throat as it will yours, and especially if you're hoping to minimize your being exposed to any type of iron and making sure that it's killed in the throat. Also, a brand new study from Portugal, University of Coimbra, adolescents with lack of empathy show early signs of psychopathy. This is an interesting study. In fact, it's a pioneering study with a Portuguese population showing that adolescents with high levels of callous, unemotional traits demonstrate lower levels of anticipated guilt towards the possibility of committing an immoral act and struggle to judge an immoral act as a wrong act. Therefore, they feel no empathy for their victims or what they've done. They feel they're not responsible on a moral level. Now, those kids with that don't have that develop in a vacuum. It develops in bubbles where parents themselves are callous or indifferent and don't care about providing the proper moral, ethical, and spiritual guidance that is the cohesiveness of all communities throughout history, of all relationships, individuals and groups. So it's so important that our children have an understanding of the preciousness, the sacredness of the other, without looking at a person's color or income or status within a society or their education or their age or anything else. Just look at them as if they're a unique human being that we can learn from, we can share with, and we can enjoy being with. But that's not happening so often. And it's not relegated to any one group, but one group in particular that I've been working with, because I've counseled tens of thousands of them one-on-one. So something I have an intimate awareness of are those who have sacrificed all that is essential to the development of a human being and their progenitor for their careers, the careerist. I did a lecture last night for 2.5 hours on what happens when we lose balance in our life, even by starting off with some ideal of what we could do if we succeeded. But then we lose track of what was important when we had less on our plate. There was less moving parts to our life. So we could have a hobby. We could spend time in nature. We could spend time with family and friends, with our pets, and love things. We could hang out. We could play. We had more freedom to be, to do, to think, to care, to feel. And then one day, everything went to putting it into play for mastering our careers. And as I mentioned, everybody masters multiple things. And then everything becomes what we do with what we master. It allows us a certain, let's say, hierarchical positioning. We exceed other people's expectations. And then we can't stop growing, possessing, accumulating, acquiring. And then one day, everything else that was important, our health, exercise, de-stressing, nice vacation, quality time, it's gone. It's not there. That creates an imbalance. That imbalance then means we're going to be processing disease at the same time we're processing success. I cannot tell you how difficult it is to help people who are highly successful and overly achieved. They are the least likely to ever change because they can't let go of the idea that their career is more important than their life. And so they have a great career and not a great life. They failed at their life and succeeded at their career. That's the exchange that we give. And those are the people most likely to pass those traits on directly or indirectly by actions or deed to their children. Those then become the children least likely to feel any guilt by what they do. And then one day they become Barack Obama. They become Gerald Ford or Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Miss Rice, Rush Limbaugh, Rachel Maddow, all the members of Council on Foreign Relations, all the members of the Board of Directors of Raytheon. Now give them a lie detector test, and I'll bet they'll pass it if you ask them, do you intend to hurt people? Do you intend to vilify people? Do you intend to imprison people? Do you intend to see people raped or murdered inside of a prison or in a village that you have decimated? Do you intend to blow up children? And they say no, and they would be honest. They wouldn't, because they have disconnected from the outcome of any choice they make in life. So, we wonder why we have an awful lot of woke kids today who are mindless, who have no concept of history, ethics, philosophy of living. Everything is a microaggression or major aggression to which they must attack, contributing nothing positive. Nothing grows in their wake. It's a scorched earth process. And now we consider that normal and acceptable? We shouldn't. We should not consider that a child that acts out and finds nothing wrong with what they're doing to other people, the bully, the intellectual bully, the success bully, the career bully, the dominant bully, the I'm the biggest, the toughest bully. No, we have bullies that come in different forms, some sly, some more overt, some easy, and some more difficult to detect. But that's who runs the world today. Every institution, every board of a member on a corporate position. They don't wake up that morning saying, I intend to destroy the world today. I work for Pepsi Cola. I intend to make sure that there's more rotted teeth or obesity from people who drink our product. That's not going to happen. But the consequences of not caring enough about what you create and see it through to its end, from conception to completion, will cause people to take in sugar they shouldn't have had in their body. And then you will see the unintended consequences. Because no person at a corporation that I know of wakes up and says, can we create a product that can cause diabetes and kids to die before their parents? That's not happening. We have all focused upon the wrong enemies. The wrong enemies are not individually a Bill Gates or Anthony Fauci or the head of Monsanto or the CIA or the head of national security, pathological liars. They are not the problem. We assume they are. As a result, we've made no success whatsoever in stopping all this because we don't realize the problem is we. We are the problem. When you buy your clothes without thinking or caring to think about, did someone make this dress at 14 cents an hour in Bangladesh? You're the problem. When you condemn the banks for foreclosing on your house or payday loan for the same and incurring debt that you cannot surrender by bankruptcy, you're using their credit cards. You're the problem. When you shop in their stores, you're the problem. When you go to Google, you're the problem. When you go to Facebook, you're the problem. When you go to Wikipedia for any information on health, you're the problem. When you line up and voluntarily take a vaccine before you've done your own homework, you've trusted the people on television who have not done their homework, who trust the doctors who've not done their homework, who trust the scientists who've not done their homework, who trust the politicians who've not done their homework, then you're the problem. And we can't see that. We refuse to see it. It's a pain, a humiliation, an embarrassment. We're smarter than our choices. That was my lecture last night, but for 2.5 hours. I'll share more on that. Just want to share this with you. And finally, from Ohio State University, omega-3 supplements do double duty to protecting against stress. High daily doses of omega-3 can help slow the effects of aging by suppressing damage and boosting protection at the cellular level during and after stressful events. That is important. Of Of course, it does a lot of other things as well. But it also, compared to a placebo, taking your omega-3 fatty acid, produced less of the stress hormone cortisol. Why do you think I have everyone today? I did a two-hour lecture this morning, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, to the anti-aging group about spend your time in silence with the trees and the birds. I give them a long lecture with 10 important points, and they spend the day trying to see what messages they can confer from what I said to their own lives. It de-stresses you. It turns off cortisol. It eliminates depression and anxiety. Cortisol kills your neurons, your heart cells. It's extremely dangerous. So if you think smoking's bad, and it is, drinking's bad, and it is, stress kills more poor people. Stress will kill you faster than a bad diet. So taking your omega-3 fatty acids brings down that pro-inflammatory protein during a stressful event. So that's why you should take your omega-3s every day. More to come tomorrow on all this. In fact, 5 hours of moderate activity a week may be required minimally to avoid midlife hypertension, so says University of California, San Francisco study. So minimum exercise will not get you maximum benefit. Now we're going to take a break now. And when we come back from the break, we're going to go to a clip concerning that is off the internet. You can't find it anywhere. Bill Gates, in his own words. So you see that there is no hyperbole. There is no pontificating with projections that could be biased. This is in his own words. Is he the problem? No, he is not. He did not condition the American public to willingly accept his vaccine agenda. He is merely a person smart enough, manipulative enough, clever enough, diabolical enough to know how to profit from it. Now listen to one thing he says in here, and no one discusses this or challenges him with this in the media. There's a person in a news network asking him how profitable is his vitamins and his investments, not his vitamins, his vaccines. And he had a $10 or $20 billion investment, and he made 20 times that. It was a $10 billion. He invested in vaccines, and he made $200 billion back. Well, now he's investing tens of billions, so he will be America's first trillionaire because he saved lives. To the contrary, you will see the documentation here of how many people died because of his vaccines. You will see how many people died or became diseased in India. And then suddenly he goes in and money goes to all these institutions and individuals. You'll see this. Then you'll have, if you choose, a different perspective on trusting anything the Bill Melinda Gates or Gavi. Gavi is Bill Melinda Gates. He started, he funds it. It's one and the same. So this is what we're being told is the important new way forward with the new Great Reset. Follow the Gates. He will lead us into a new way of artificial intelligence and genetically engineered farming. No, he won't. It'll cause mass starvation. But listen to this when we come back. It is extremely revealing.
Things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
Gates' business strategies came under fire in 1998 when the United States Department of Justice sued Microsoft for antitrust violations.
This is take three of the videotaped deposition of Bill Gates.
During the 18-month trial, Gates gave hours of videotaped testimony.
What were the non-Microsoft browsers that you were concerned about in January of 1996?
That month.
Yes, sir.
And what about it?
What non-Microsoft browsers were you concerned about in January of 1996?
I don't know what you mean, concerned.
What is it about the word concerned that you don't understand?
I'm not sure what you mean by it.
The Justice Department has charged Microsoft with engaging in anti-competitive and exclusionary practices designed to maintain its monopoly in personal computer operating systems.
In a move to overshadow the negative press, Gates invested $100 million to set up the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Overnight, Bill Gates transformed his public image from ruthless tech monopolizer to the world's most generous philanthropist.
I'm pleased to announce that we're pledging an additional $1 billion.
We had the chance to witness Bill Gates 2.0, the man you don't know.
The rebranding campaign paid off. His net worth swiftly doubled, earning Bill Gates the title of richest man in the world.
You've invested $10 billion in vaccinations over the last two decades, and you figured out the return on investment for that. And it kind of stunned me. Can you walk us through the math?
In a Wall Street essay, Bill Gates declared vaccines the best investment I've ever made.
There's been over a 20-to-1 return. So if you just look at the economic benefits, that's a pretty strong number compared to anything else.
The Gates Foundation expanded rapidly into a massive, vertically integrated, multinational corporation, controlling every step in a supply chain that reaches from its Seattle-based boardrooms to the villages of Africa and Asia.
Is the world's largest private philanthropy causing harm? The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has made millions of dollars each year from companies blamed for many of the same social and health problems the foundation seeks to address. The Gates Foundation has investments in 69 of the worst polluting companies in the U.S. and Canada. Other companies in the foundation's portfolio have been accused of transgressions, including forcing thousands of people to lose their homes, supporting child labor, defrauding and neglecting patients in need of medical care. The Gates Foundation has not provided details.
William H. Gates III and Melinda French Gates.
As a top donor to both the WHO and the CDC, no one man has more power than Bill Gates to influence and control the health and medical freedom of all people.
Normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
This will be the new normal until a vaccine is developed.
Until we find a vaccine, going back to normal means putting lives at risk.
We need to produce it and to deploy it in every single corner of the world.
Full vaccination of our children and pregnant women.
Development of new vaccines, therapeutics,
vaccines,
and diagnostics.
Before effective vaccines and therapeutics are developed.
Keine sağlama tarihinde
bulunmuştur.
Vaccines.
We've already bought the syringes. We already know where it's going to happen. We're thinking about what that's going to be. It's all part of this plan.
Our military is now being mobilized, so at the end of the year, we're going to be able to give it to a lot of people very, very rapidly.
In 1986, President Ronald Reagan signed the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, granting total immunity to vaccine manufacturers. After a decade of lawsuits related to vaccine injuries and deaths, vaccine makers were going bankrupt. In a move to coerce policymakers, vaccine companies threatened to stop making vaccines until they could be legally shielded from liability. To this day, when someone is injured or killed as the result of an adverse reaction, it is the U.S. taxpayers that pay for the damages.
Welcome back. Were several Indian tribal girls used as guinea pigs? The report alleges that two American pharma giants' untested vaccine was administered to thousands of tribal girls without proper study and paperwork.
India was among the hardest hit after Bollywood celebrities were incentivized by the Gates Foundation to urge the public to submit to mass vaccinations. In 2009, tribal children were administered the HPV vaccine. Over 24,000 girls were told they were being given wellness shots, in many cases without the informed consent of a parent or a guardian.
The people that were administering these vaccines lied to the guardians of these girls and told the girls, oh, this is going to cure cancer, you're never going to have cancer. And these girls became severely injured. Some of them developed seizures, some of them developed cancer. And seven girls died, and there was no insurance, there was no assistance for them, and the Gates Foundation denied that it had been clinical trials. And it was so bad that the parliament in India created a task force, they studied it, and they kicked out the Gates Foundation.
But India is a barbaric country. Things happen here in a very barbaric way.
But I was surprised to find an American organization operating in broad daylight, doing things in a very, very, let's say, Indian fashion. And so the route I took was that I want the whole procedure to be investigated. The Indian Parliament formed a committee, and it was to me a rather surprising move, because you generally don't often have such a high-level inquiry into matters affecting poor people. And that was such an extraordinary report. I don't think Indian Parliament has ever come out with such a scathing report. And the government officials came up and said, we shouldn't have authorized this. We're sorry. We're not going to allow them again. And now they're back doing their same old tricks again.
The good news is that human clinical trials can start as early as July 2020 for India's first COVID-19 indigenous vaccine that's been developed by Bharat Biotech.
So you can imagine how the manipulation of the media by the media, the manipulation of public opinion by leaders from all political parties unanimously saying, we want a vaccine. And the worst thing is they are taken as philanthropists, whereas what this actually is the acquisition of political and financial power. And I think the second most populous country with 1.3 billion people is going to be a good base for pharmaceutical companies to make a killing and also kill a lot of people in the process. Yes, I just find it a pity that we haven't been able to get any benefit for the girls who suffered, you know. It's so terrifying as to what they're actually doing with the world.
We're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
A 2018 scientific study released in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health concluded that over 490,000 children in India developed paralysis as a result of the Gates-supported oral polio vaccine that was administered between the years of 2000 and 2017. Using all the usual sleight of hand, U.S.-based media and fact-checkers rushed to bury the story. But thanks to the meticulous work of a team of Indian researchers and doctors, the inconvenient truth lives on the NIH.gov website.
It's my honor to introduce Bill and Melinda Gates.
Without any medical training, Bill and Melinda Gates founded the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, through which they fulfill their agenda to vaccinate the world. The foundation has been sued by the governments of some of the poorest and most vulnerable nations for causing serious harm through experimental vaccine programs.
If you just look at healthcare workers around the world, they deserve to get the vaccine first. You know, here in the United States, really, it's going to be Black people who really should get it first, and many indigenous people.
Vaccines were always taught to us that it was safe, it was healthy, this is things that we had to do. But given the position that I am in now as a state legislator and looking at these studies and reviewing a lot of these studies, it's very scary. And I want the African American community to open up their eyes.
Of all the places that Mr. Gates could have gone in the world, why did he settle on Africa? It's not because he cares about people that look like me. He cares about an agenda.
African bodies have been used as lab rats for many years for Big Pharma.
They are using us for trials, they are using us for testing, but as an African, I say no more.
Africans, they're tired of becoming the guinea pigs of the world. Their antennas are raised and they're telling each other all over social media. They're on high alert right now.
There is a policy of the American government. It's called the Kissinger Report, which was produced in the mid-70s. And it explicitly states that the purpose of the foreign policy in Africa was to reduce the population, because they have great mineral resources there. At the time, Kissinger and those involved with the Carter administration wanted to shrink the population, make sure that the Africans do not develop and do not use the resources for themselves, because we in the States, we need them. There is a concerted effort of foreign powers to control the population of Africa.
Some children did survive the botched vaccinations last month and will recover, but 15, all under the age of 5, died from fever, vomiting, and diarrhea.
Human errors contributed to the unfortunate deaths of the children.
How can you believe Big Pharma but not believe these parents when they tell you that their children have been injured by Big Pharma? I don't care how big this corporate machine looks. As a parent, I can tell you, these people will never stop fighting for their kids.
Bill Gates is either the most misunderstood man alive or one of the most convincing con men to ever live. Is he a benevolent hero or a malevolent opportunist?
Bill Gates.
Personally, I would love to believe that one of the richest men in the world is giving away his fortune for the betterment of humanity. I want to believe that endearing smile. I want to believe that his heart is as soft and warm as his sweaters. At the very least, I want to believe that he's unaware of the damage he's done.
When do you think life will fully return to what we thought of as normal back in January? No masks, no social distancing, no other protective measures necessary?
Certainly by the summer, we'll be way closer to normal than we are now. But even through early 2022, unless we help other countries get rid of this disease and we get high vaccination rates in our country, the risk of reintroduction will be there. And of course, the global economy will be slowed down, which hurts America economically in a pretty dramatic way. So we'll have, starting in the summer, about 9 months where a few things like big public gatherings will still be restricted. But, you know, we can see now that somewhere between 12 to 18 months, and we have a chance, if we manage it well, to get back to normal. For the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population. And, well, this won't be the last pandemic that we face. So we, you know, we'll have to prepare for the next one. That, you know, I'd say is, will get attention this time. Mm-hmm.
Time, prepare for the next one. Are you all aware that 4 months before the official outbreak was announced of Wuhan, there was a simulation experiment done where they talked about a novel coronavirus being released that became a pandemic? Virtually all the current people who are controlling the war on COVID were at that meeting. Coincidence? Really important coincidence if it was. Your thoughts, please. 888-874-4888. Something new today, and boy, is this good for all your parents out there who've had a normal child till they were vaccinated, then they regressed into autism, and you were told that vaccines had nothing to do with autism, even though the government's own agency, the Department of the Justice Department, was paying out billions upon billions of dollars in settlements with the full proof that it was the vaccine that caused the autism. This just in. This is from the highly respected Pediatric Health Medicine and Therapeutics Journal, Volume 11. The relationship between the level of copper, lead, mercury, and autism disorder, a meta-analysis, and by leading scientists from and their specialization, they reviewed from PubMed 18 articles conducted in different countries between 1982 and 2019 were collected. It looked at 1,797 patients, 981 cases, and 816 controls. Ages 2 to 16 years were examined. And what they found was conclusions. There is nevertheless a significant relationship between mercury concentration and autism. Thus, the concentration of mercury can be listed as a pathogenic cause, meaning disease
cause for autism. Mercury stoned some vaccines. Mercury was the leading adjuvant until recently. Now it's aluminum. If they did the same study with aluminum, and aluminum was not a part of the study, I'm sure that they would find the same thing. So there you have it. You were all correct. The media was wrong. Anthony Fauci was wrong. All of the people at the FDA and CDC were wrong. But they knew they were wrong. They're too smart to know otherwise. And the vaccine makers were identified by Ronald Reagan back in 1986. We should rescind all of those opportunities for them to escape any financial liability. Next up, we're going to take your calls and see what you have to say on these issues. We have Peter from Tampa on the line. Hi, Peter. Your turn.
Hello. It is so great to hear this because everyone I talk to thinks Bill Gates is so great, and they can't hear me when I say, let me tell you about the effect of Bill Gates in my life. Because in the 1990s, I'm blind, I was set up from the Commission for the Blind, set me up with a talking computer. It was based on WordPerfect and a company called Vocalize. And the manual was like an inch and a half thick. I had it memorized. I was so fluent with computers. I could run circles around Bill Gates and most people. I was so fluent with it. I was happy. And what happened was, several years later, the computer broke, and, it can't get fixed anymore. You can't get that anymore. Why? Those companies were out of business. Why? Because Bill Gates didn't support DOS anymore. You know, and this is a story no one wants to tell. It's like Bill Gates had created something called DOS, but it wouldn't make him any richer. What he couldn't do was say, now what I should do is protect the people who depend on DOS, not want to become I don't need another $1 billion. I need to protect the people who are relying on the infrastructure that I created. He couldn't take that mentality. He wanted to be richer, and so he pulled the rug out from under our feet. And so the taxpayers who funded the training and the Commission for the Blind, basically he undermined all of that, all the skills that were based on, you know, fluency with WordPerfect. He pulled the rug out from under our feet. And he said, well, use Windows. Windows is inferior to a blind person. And they're saying, and people say, come on, Peter, adapt. I'm like, hey, in terms of adapting, I can run circles around you and Bill Gates. But I'm a blip. I'm nothing to Bill Gates. I have no power in the market for his ambitions. I'm nothing to him.
Keep in mind, pull back for a moment, Peter, and let's deconstruct the argument. We are a nation that is hyper-reacting instead of using calm, dispassionate reason. Go to the progenitor, the beginning of. And if we do that, here's what we will see. Bill Gates has no power except that which he can buy through scientific organizations, through organizations such as the World Health Organization, through universities, and through governmental agencies like the FDA and the CDC, by manufacturers. If you're willing to give billions and billions of dollars per year, and in the process, you get a tax, you're not taxed on that, you're nonprofit, and yet you make profits, but you can continue to churn these through your nonprofit. And so it's a deceptive cycle, but it's a cycle that works. Now, lather up the media. Give millions of dollars to NPR and PBS and other stations and think tanks. Now you have not just a few people supporting you, you have millions of people by extension supporting you. Who then can go against you? Then those people, it's their job to convince the average person that by taking a vaccine, you're protecting yourself. Even the scientists working in the field, including a scientist who recently came forward who has spent 40 years in the development of vaccines. He has a background in biology and veterinary medicine, and he did something that was a career-ending move. He asked the government, stop all vaccines because there's a defect. Now, he may or may not be right. I said at the time when I played a segment from his clip that it's a hypothesis that deserves to be explored to see if it's right or wrong. That's what we do with hypothesis. And everything starts with a hypothesis. We have no certainty at the beginning of anything in medicine. And you should never begin medicine or science with the idea that something is right because you believe in it, because your beliefs could be wrong and frequently are. But let's see if it's proven out. It was never done. And as a result, if he's right, we could be facing astronomical damage to people's immune systems, including long time from now, because your body cannot automatically turn off manufacturing these spike proteins. So, what are we seeing now? Hundreds of thousands of injuries, thousands of deaths per country. And that's only anywhere between 90% are not recorded. So as a result, it's far worse. We have an epidemic of adverse reactions right now of the vaccines. And then instead of doing what we would normally do, if you had Tylenol, remember about 20 years ago or so, there was some poison Tylenol, and they took it all off the market because a few injuries and a few deaths, handful. And now we have thousands in the United States. We have more people who have died from the COVID vaccine than died in World Trade. And yet, keep going, we're told. But we don't unravel it and say, what do you have as proof that we should keep going? Well, their theory, our belief, our trust us because we're experts. That's the last thing you should trust, because we've seen how people can buy experts. Look at all the experts they bought. I still have the ads from the Journal of the American Medical Association, full-page ads, Chesterfields, smoke them. No, Lucky Strike, smoke them. No, Camel, smoke them. Doctors, more doctors smoke Lucky Strikes than any other cigarette. 47,000 doctors, something like that in the ad. Soothes your nerves and calms your throat. No, it causes cancer of the throat, and it doesn't calm you. It's an addictive substance in the brain. They lied. They knew the truth, and they lied. The experts were bought. In fact, you could buy as much experts to tell you sugar was good, artificial sweeteners were good, cyclamates were good, DDT was good, that the Vietnam War was a good thing, the Afghanistan invasion was a good thing, that the invasion of Iraq was a good thing, and Syria was a good thing, and Libya was a good thing. For whom? Now, go back to what I originally said, because I want people to think more on this. I want you to think deeper on this today, if you would please. Ask the average person, when they come out of their synagogue, mosque, or church, or out of their home, even if they're atheists or agnostic, do you want to see innocent people killed today? Do you want to see little children burned to death as they run screaming with napalm covering their body? No. And they would be telling you the truth. Now, follow that through to that person who goes to work that day, and they work for an arms manufacturer that happens to manufacture napalm. Now, ask the person that works in the factory that makes the planes that flies that. Then ask the board members of that particular factory that makes napalm, do you want to see any children burned to death? And they'll say no, and they'd be telling the truth. But there's a cognitive disconnect that they, as long as they're seeing their profits grow, they do not then extend their interest to what the consequences are to others. As if only bad people would be burned to death, as if that's an appropriate way of stopping wars or aggression. And when has that ever worked? As a result, we are living in worldwide cognitive denial. And hence, the enemy is us. But think on this. I'm only asking you to think on it and see how many times, like D'Angelo, who has written a book that I personally believe is as evil as Mein Kampf, My Story by Hitler, back in 1922. dictated to Rudolf Hess. It was the basis of determining that one group of people were inferior and evil and the cause of all problems, the Jewish people. Oh, they also included blacks in there and gypsies, etc. And feeble-minded people should not be tolerated or accepted. For the benefit of society, euthanize them. And they did. And I have the film footage of a group of German psychiatrists celebrating with champagne when they had completed the euthanizing of all of the patients in a mental hospital. Over in one area, it was I heard a figure of over 125,000, but I've heard a figure of 300,000 were killed. And it was a celebration because they believed they were right. So what do we do in the name of being right and then not realize that we're on the wrong side of that and we're doing it today? We're seeding the minds of children to believe that the color of your skin determines whether you're acceptable or unacceptable, whether you're righteous or evil, with no redemption. We're breeding a whole new group of Hitler's children without being aware of it. We've got to wake up at some point. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call, Peter. Let's say hello to Ron. Ron, your call, your turn. You're on the air.
How you doing, Gabriel? Listen, two things. Friday's show by Simone Sinek, Empathy, the best speech ever. Beautiful. I went on his website. Now I'm turned on to his lexicon. And yesterday when you made a comment about how come they don't want us to know about nutrition and more people are dying, and it's about, you know, making money, you know, an ounce of prevention. Because how many people would have been saved? You talk about this religiously every day on your program. What a great insight, Dr. Nall.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you listening to these shows, and please share them with other people. Remember, we do no advertising whatsoever. We believe, I believe, that if the truth is shared at the level of the heart, it will stimulate the mind. And therefore, it is a truth that you can feel comfortable sharing. Hence, no need for advertising. Word of mouth. Let's say hello to Leslie, and we're going to have to say goodbye in a minute to our BAI audience. Thank you for listening. Everyone else, we're going to go to the top of the hour, and we'll continue to take your calls at 888-874-4888. PRN.FM is where you can hear us. Leslie from Manhattan, your turn.
Hi, I'm gay. Bill Gates allegedly has bought over 250,000 acres of farmland here in the United States. But he's not only vaccinating people and killing them. Now he's going to control their food supply and probably deny food to many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people here in this country. But what my other point is that there is a there is hope for this COVID-19 epidemic. The Dr. Charles Brenner of Columbia University, PhD, has done experiments on ultraviolet light. He calls it far UVC. And it's a safe ultraviolet light that can be used in public places, arenas, schools, restaurants, churches, etc. And it will kill the COVID virus in the atmosphere, in interior atmospheres, without harming people. So this is the main reason why I think that it's a hoax, this COVID vitamin, this COVID 19 epidemic, because it's very easy to solve this problem without vaccinating the whole world, waiting for herd immunity. It's just garbage. But Dr. Brenner is not getting any press on this. He's got a YouTube video that explains how this far UVC could clean the air of bacteria and viruses and prevent most of us from getting sick.
Okay. First of all, I'm sorry I don't know this person. However, if you send information to me by going to PRN Studio at GaryNall.com and PRN Studio at gmail.com, I'll be happy to read it and bring him on the program. It's partially correct, but not completely correct. Remember, I was a senior research fellow at the Institute of Applied Biology for 33 years. And virtually every room there had ultraviolet lights everywhere in the room. And I had them over my research instruments also. That will indeed kill a lot of pathogens, but it will not kill the pathogens that are already in an infected person. You can be asymptomatic and still spread many different types of pathogenic agents in your body. And that was the problem. Anthony Fauci and the CDC and the World Health Organization and the White House Special Committee, these people acted in complete disregard for basic science. The vast majority of people have already been infected by this and are completely well, don't even know they had it. They then test you with an artificial test that is not accurate. It was never meant to measure be a diagnostic tool. So let's just say that 10 years ago you had a virus, or 2 months ago you had the virus. Well, now you're well. You've beaten the virus. You're naturally immune. You give that person a vaccine, you put their life at risk. There could be unintended consequences for that. And now more and more people, scientists, are speaking out saying, yes, that is correct. So if you've been sick by the COVID virus, you shouldn't be having to vaccinate yourself. Now, you take a healthy person, they come in contact with the virus at work, they then bring it home. They don't know they're sick because they're not manifesting an infection, but they're still shedding. Every time you breathe in the air, you're shedding viruses, bacteria, it's in your saliva. But it's not impacting you because you're strong. But let's say that 70-year-old morbidly obese mother with diabetes and high blood pressure, now you infect her. That could kill her, and has. Look at the average age of the person who has died from COVID or comorbidities stimulated by COVID, and that's exactly what we did. Quarantining sick people, yes. Giving them the proper medications like ivermectin, yes. And others, vitamin D and hyperbaric oxygen therapy, etc., yes. That would save them. In fact, there are nursing homes that have tested everyone, and if you're a worker, if you test positive, you don't get in. And guess what? No deaths from COVID. Normal deaths, yes, but no deaths from COVID. Governor of New York allows infected patients to go right back in the nursing home, and they weren't dying from COVID. Now they all die from COVID. 70% of one study showed that those who died were in nursing homes. Now, if we realize that people, primarily that over 70% of people dying were dying who already were at death's door, and even at their maximum lifespan, it would not have been called a pandemic or an epidemic. It would have been dealt with as a severe flu would have been. But the severe flu kills children. This doesn't. So, what you have is you've had the wrong approach. We have caused the problem. That does not even take into account the kids killing themselves from suicide, taking kids that need to be integrated with other children in the school environment to yell and scream and run and play and learn. When you take away and you just put a kid in an apartment or a house and they can't go outside, you've changed how they perceive the world. A lot of them can't handle it and been killing themselves. You cause deep depression, which in turn can kill you. Deep depression can lead to suicide. You get people on opiates because they have too much pain in their life. Now we had 80,000 people die last year from opiate use. Was there any discussion of that? None. So take a careful look. The treatment for COVID is not the solution to COVID. The treatment is prevention and then appropriate non-toxic interventions that are medically sound and proven through good quality studies. Doing anything other than that, you have to have a different agenda. They've lied about their agenda. It is profit and power and control over a population. Thank you very much, Leslie from New York City, for calling in. I appreciate it. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you all for listening. Look forward to having another good talk tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.